97.1 FM Talk Podcast. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, Fox?
Hey, good morning to you. Glad you're back with us here on a Friday morning. Lots of good stuff for you so far. If you've missed any of it, you can go back and pick it up on the app, the podcast. If you're on the app for Odyssey, you can just rewind, hit the rewind button, and you can listen. You can also leave us a listener message there on the comment line if you're on the Odyssey app. But if you download the podcast, you can go back and listen to Robert Davi. Great actor. You've seen him in Goonies. He's been in so many movies over the years. He did a film a few years ago recreating a Frank Sinatra concert, which was fabulous. If you haven't seen it, he's got a great voice too. But we had him on talking about the role he's playing in the movie Reagan, and that was just at the top of the last hour at 7 o'clock. A great interview with Robert Davi, one of the outspoken conservatives in Hollywood. And he's paid a price in his career. I mean, he's been in a lot of great movies over the years until they found out he was a conservative, and then they started really blacklisting him in Hollywood, which is a shame. Coming up here in a few minutes, we'll talk to a former ICE field office director about this growing problem with former pitcher for the Dodgers. I don't know why I said that. These Venezuelan gangs that have popped up around the country. Well, we haven't popped up. They've broken into the country illegally thanks to the open border under the Harris-Biden administration. So we're going to get his take on what can be done about that. How real is the threat? Is it everywhere? Is it just in Oklahoma and Miami? I mean, I don't know where they are right now.
Well, talking about these illegals who have come across our border, I'm looking right now on Twitter and I see, you know, that account End Wokeness.
Yes.
Okay, so they have media fact check. The viral image of a Haitian, walking with a goose is not from Springfield, Ohio. And I've seen a number of other outlets trying to say that, trying to fact check and being like, actually, it's from a nearby city in Ohio. And they say, in other words, it's spreading. Like, it's funny how the media is sitting here trying to negate it, saying, well, that's not a thing. It's not
that's
really
not
from
real.
Springfield.
That's not real.
If it's in other parts of Ohio, that's an even bigger problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as a reminder, If you don't know, from a person who actually lives in Springfield and not some national reporter, there are strange things going on in Springfield, just so you know.
They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, and it's going to get bigger and it's only going to get worse. And y'all sitting up there in these chairs, all y'all need to get out here and do something. Y'all making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Y'all need to put on a t-shirt and some Crocs. And then y'all need to come out here in these streets and y'all need to go out here and,
Can we just talk about what the Washington Examiner reporter said this morning on the show that comes on before ours?
Please. Yes.
Here's her rationale for why these people are seen carrying dead geese. She says, no, I think they were already dead, and they were probably taking him to bury them.
Ignore the fact that their heads were missing, and they were seen carrying them down the street. We don't know what their intention was. They might have been planning to go bury them.
I think they were making little custom goose caskets, and they were writing up a eulogy, and they wanted to make sure these geese had a proper burial. They were doing right by these geese, Mark. How dare we even suggest otherwise?
What's happening in this country is that thanks to the lies in the mainstream media, our goose is getting cooked slowly. That's the problem. All right, moving right along. Ethan filling in for Carl again this morning. Great job this week, my friend. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's get to the short list, please.
The Mark Cox short list.
So that's why we will be saying that if you're an overtime worker when you're past 40 hours a week, think of that. Your overtime hours will be tax-free. Okay, good.
How about that? Trump floated that one out there yesterday. So if you work a 50, 60-hour work week and you're hourly and you're getting that OT, Donald Trump wants to drop the taxes from that portion of your income.
Pearls are a symbol of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, which she pledged while she was at Howard University. And the strand of pearls is symbolic of the unity and the sisterhood.
Lindsay Davis. Hey, did you know she was one of the moderators the other night? Also a sorority sister of Kamala Harris, who she was moderating and defending.
Over the past 3.5 years, there has been an escalation of attacks on the Justice Department. It is dangerous to target and intimidate individual employees of this department solely for doing their jobs.
Is it dangerous and outrageous for the DOJ to target their political opponents, Mr. Garland?
That this is lawfare. This is the kind of thing that happens in dictatorships and authoritarian governments.
Wow. Former Democrat Tulsi Gabbard there reading Merrick Garland, the Riot Act, this morning. His comments are getting nationwide attention, just so you know. Robert Davi brought it up in our interview earlier. I didn't bring it up to him. He brought up to me the outrageous things that Merrick Garland was saying yesterday, but this will kind of drive it home for you, I think, a little bit. We all know what we've watched the Department of Justice be the lawfare in this country. We've seen it in real time, because you know it's what happened in the records case in Mar-a-Lago, and you see how it's been improperly handled with political opponents of this administration from a man that could have been sitting on the Supreme Court had we not blocked his nomination by Barack Obama. And he's bitter about that, and he hates the right for doing that. He hates conservatives for doing that, and he's perfectly fine letting his prosecutors run willy-nilly and press charges against conservatives, and particularly Donald Trump, who poses the greatest threat to the establishment that they've ever seen. And that's why they need to stop him at all costs. How about Tulsi Gabbard? How about Tulsi Gabbard and Merrick Garland and the DOJ? Because she's personally been targeted by them. And I thought she had an interesting take on this.
I would tell Merrick Garland today, if you are serious about the words you have just delivered to the American people, why don't you start by investigating some of your own federal agencies, like the Department of Homeland Security and TSA, and ask them why, after one day, the very next day after I called out Kamala Harris for being a danger to our country, should she be elected as president, I got added to a secret domestic terrorist list. That's a good place to start.
That's a good place to start, but I'm not finished. And she went on listing all the other ways that she thinks the DOJ has targeted people. Oh, I don't know. Maybe for speaking out at your local school board meeting.
Yeah. No, it really has been insane, the weaponization. And I love that Tulsi's pointing all of this out. She's been such a strong voice. And obviously we know of her, but it's been really cool to watch this all unfold and people come together in support of Donald Trump. I have to think that she's going to have some sort of a cabinet position under his administration, assuming he gets elected. And maybe in 4 years she would run. And I actually think she would have quite a bit of support.
Maybe SecDef, maybe Secretary of Defense.
I think that'd be a good position for her.
I don't know, but potentially. I don't think she's got a law degree, or I would recommend her for attorney general, where she could put an end to all this nonsense over in the Department of Justice, for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to John Fabricatore, by the way, retired ICE field office director, about this increase in Venezuelan gang activity right here in the United States. We saw another example of it yesterday. We're going to be back with that right after this.
Well, tonight, a second person is in jail for the kidnapping and murder of a Doral man, and a Venezuelan gang may be behind the disturbing crime.
Now, lawmakers are calling on the White House to help stop this criminal organization.
How about that? That was from the NBC affiliate down in Miami, Florida. So if you've watched that viral video from the Venezuelan gang, I don't know, kind of taking over an apartment building. Where was that? It was in Oklahoma.
No, I thought that was Aurora, Colorado.
Oh, was it Colorado?
Yeah.
You're right. I don't know why I thought Oklahoma. And yeah, if you thought it was just there, it's elsewhere. There, who knows where all they are? And they're out of some prison in Venezuela, apparently, former prisoners down there. Wait a minute. Was it Donald Trump who said they're sending us their prisoners? I think it was. Is there any chance he was onto something? I'm just asking for a friend. I don't know. I just have to feel myself have to ask that question. But we do have a guest right now who can maybe address some of this. John Fabricatori is our guest. He's a retired ICE field office director, among other things, and a veteran himself. How are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
Yeah. So what do we know about, what is it, Tren de Aragua? Have I pronounced that correctly?
Yeah, you definitely did. So Tren de Aragua, some people call them TDA or El Tren. Look, they were born in the prison systems in Venezuela, Tocaron prison. You know, they've got about 5,000 members. They're into extortion, kidnapping, trafficking, prostitution. You name it, this gang does it, and they're highly violent. I live in Aurora, Colorado. I was actually at those apartment complexes where you guys saw those videos. Look, this is happening. It's happening across the U.S., and law enforcement needs to put their foot down now to make sure that this gang doesn't get a bigger foothold than they already have.
Well, yeah, I wondered about that. I mean, I know that they've called for the White House to take more action on this. I mean, whose responsibility is it? Do they send the FBI in on this? I mean, this is beyond just an ICE issue right now, right?
Absolutely. So look, this needs to be a big force. Law enforcement really needs to look at it. You need federal partners, local, city, state. Everyone needs to come on board and suppress this gang right away. We cannot allow this gang to continue to grow in the U.S. and do what they're doing. Here in Denver, I mean, they attacked a jewelry store and beat up multiple women inside the jewelry store. Well, they're a violent gang, and they need to be eradicated.
Look, crime is so bad right now across the country. You have to imagine a lot of these departments don't even have the resources to try to tackle this issue. When you have gang members
right.
going around to apartment doors and busting in Aurora, Colorado, where you said you live.
Yeah, you know, and I've talked to a lot of different police departments. Look, everyone's down. Every police department that I've talked to is down in numbers. Here in Aurora, Colorado, I think they're down about 200 officers.
Wow.
We're at a situation now where the police can't keep up. And when you have a gang like this that knows that, they look for those areas. They look for sanctuary states. They look for areas where the cops are low. And this is what they do.
Well, John, if I can ask, how far removed are you from your work with ICE?
So I retired 2 years ago, but I started a consulting firm and you know, have been following this gang for about the last 2 years. I've been down to the border 7 times since I retired. You know, so I stay pretty active and watching these trends.
So when, for example, I don't know, this week you might have been watching a debate where one of the candidates said the southern border is secure. What's your take on that?
It's not. It's definitely not. Look, the border's not secure. Like I said, I've been down there multiple times since I retired. You know, I went down to Lukeville, Arizona about 8 months ago, walked into the desert in Oregon Pipe National Monument, walked into 135 Africans that had just crossed, that the cartel had cut the fence line and let them through. So, no, we don't have we have a highly porous border. And the only one that can shut it down is Donald Trump.
Well, I would agree with that. And, you know, the other problem, we were just talking about it the other day. Kim covered a story here about fentanyl and the deaths that are related to fentanyl. And the cartels take such advantage of that. I mean, if you can get human beings across, you can certainly get drug mules across, right, carrying Lord knows what. And this stuff gets right up a pipeline, right up into the middle of the United States to your kid's school.
Yeah, it's very easy for them to put a backpack on one person and have them come across with fentanyl. You don't need truckloads of fentanyl to kill people. You need about a backpack full. 40 pounds of fentanyl powder in a backpack will cause massive destruction in a community.
Well, it's sad, and I don't know how quickly they can get this thing under control. Have you heard, and maybe there's new news on this, has there been any movement by, like, the DOJ? Have they appointed specific? I know some governors have taken some action, I believe, maybe in Florida, but has the federal government moved against this gang?
You know, I just saw an announcement that came out from the DEA that the DEA is you know, definitely tracking this gang. They're following some stuff that they're doing. They're looking to expand upon that with local law enforcement and make some cases. But it needs to be bigger, like what you're saying. It needs to be the FBI, the DEA, the ATF, ICE, local and state law enforcement. Everyone needs to get together, you know, put everyone's hands in the mix and then take this gang out.
Wow. John Frappicatore, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Absolutely. Yeah. I when you've been there, I mean, he's just 2 years out of seeing ICE on the in action every day. He knows exactly what's going on in the southern border. I was watching them this morning questioning Pete Buttigieg on, well, what about the fact that she's trying to blame Donald Trump? But that was just a couple of months ago, and they've been in charge for 3.5 years. Well, Buttigieg says, we just need to look forward to what solutions are. I mean, she didn't even call him out on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was on with maybe Kristen Welker or somebody on CNN.
Well,
didn't even say,
then.
No, stop, Mr. Transportation Secretary. Stop, pothole Pete. You own this. 3.5 years you let it happen, and 5 months ago you changed the policy and it cut down on the numbers. You could have done that 3.5 years ago.
Dare I say, okay, CNN is still very woke, but CNN has done a better job of balancing stories, interviews, the debate compared to ABC, NBC.
Well,
like CNN, in my opinion, has done a little bit better challenging some of these things that Kamala has come out with.
Maybe they have a little bit of embarrassment that they've been so one-sided on the whole thing, but I'm not gonna count on that for sure. Coming up, do you know just how much inflation has impacted you? There's a new inflation calculator out there. We're going to talk about it straight ahead.
What is clear, top of mind for voters in this election is the economy, and specifically in these states, roughly 8 in 10, just a shade over 8 in 10, say that the economy is a major issue in deciding their vote. Inflation also continues to be a major concern. Voters clearly feeling uneasy. A majority, more than a quarter of registered voters in each of these three states say that their income is not keeping up with inflation. You can imagine both candidates will be asked about this tomorrow night. Brianna?
Yeah, those are big numbers there out of those battleground states, Boris.
Boris Sanchez giving Brianna Keeler the bad news on CNN that, hey, 8 out of 10 people in the swing states are worried about inflation. I hope in the campaign ads we're not seeing right now, the Trump Vance people are hammering that point home. What's your number, Kim?
By what?
What do you think your personal inflation number has been over the past 4 years?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Up. Well, there's a way to find out right now. EJ Antoni joining us right now. He's a research fellow with the Heritage Foundation and an expert on budget and monetary policy. And they've got a new personal calculator that will let you measure the impact of inflation on your life. And EJ, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. A personal inflation calculator. I love what you guys do up at Heritage. I don't know who came up with this idea, but it's a good one.
Well, thank you so much. And look, one of the reasons why I really like this tool is because it's not only really powerful, but it's super easy to use. So, you know, people can go online on it's myinflation.org, and you can not just look at the national average, but you can essentially tailor it to more like your situation. So whether you're a retiree, let's say, or maybe you're the typical suburban family of four, whatever the case may be, you can select your location where you are in the country. You can even tweak your budget. So maybe you spend a little more or less on food, let's say, than the average. Or housing, whatever the case may be.
Well,
you know, you can even put in things like you know, how much you're paying for transportation, like your car payment, let's say. And what it does is it allows you to compare your budget today to the past. So if you want, for example, let's say you want to figure out how much have Biden-Harris administration policies cost me, you can see what you're paying today versus what you were paying in January of 2021.
It works beautifully. I've already run through a couple scenarios here. So you select your location. Obviously, I pick St. Louis. You input your monthly expenses, or you can pick like the U.S. average or the average for a suburban family of four in the U.S. So, for example, $2,700 rent or mortgage is the average they put in here. Electricity, $200 a month, maybe $400 in restaurants, $600 to $700 in groceries, your gasoline, your car payments, your car insurance, other expenses. And then you pick a year to compare that to. I went back to 2019 and selected that, and I selected a U.S. suburban family of four, and the results are, we need to almost need a drum roll here, compared to September of 2019, you are paying $1,560 more every month for the same goods and services. That is a percentage increase of 24.7% inflation over that period. That's powerful.
It is, and but I really love the first thing you said there before the percentage. It gives you a dollar amount. You know, it's not really, it's kind of ethereal almost when you hear in the news, hey, we had 3% inflation over the last year. Okay, but what does that mean, right? What is that in terms of dollars? How is that actually going to affect my monthly budget? And this, again, why I love this tool, it gives you that dollar figure, and it's not just an annual rate, meaning it's not just how much things have changed over the last year. It allows you to do things like you just did. Let's take this month, September, but back in 2019, and see how do we compare, again, in terms of dollars and not just percentages, because percentages don't fit into your monthly budget. Dollars do.
It's funny because you've heard Kamala Harris on the campaign trail talk about how, you know, meat's more expensive and gas is more expensive and home prices are more expensive. And then she even said it when she was debating Donald Trump. And I almost wish Trump would have turned to her and said, thank you so much. You just wrote an ad for me. Exactly. Everything's more expensive under your administration, your and Biden's administration.
You know, it's funny you say that, because they literally did turn that into an ad where it's just a clip of Kamala Harris giving different speeches, and it's her saying this is more expensive, that's more expensive, and it's all true.
Yeah.
And so she just rattles off half a dozen things and saying each of them are more expensive, and then it immediately cuts to a picture of Trump and it says, I'm Donald Trump and I approve this.
How does she not obviously I'm sure she realizes it, but just doesn't want to admit it because somehow she wants people to believe she's a new way forward. But it's almost like, why are you even willing to admit that? Because how can you possibly separate yourself from the rise in price everywhere? I mean, it's affecting, to Donald Trump's point, it's not just affecting the rich or the poor, it's affecting everybody.
Right. And this is where you almost have to feel bad for Harris, because she's got an impossible task. She's trying to square the circle in these campaign events of simultaneously saying, hey, everything is great because of our leadership, but then also acknowledging that everything is terrible and telling you how she's going to make it great if you give her another 4 years of leadership. I mean, how on earth do you square that circle? Again, you almost have to feel bad for her, because it's an impossible task.
Well, if you follow us on the Facebook page, the Mark Cox Show there on Facebook, I just shared my change in monthly expenses based on the scenario I ran. And it's also then got the link where you can go run your own personal inflation calculator with this device. And it's pretty eye-opening. And here's another great thing about it, EJ, and I don't know if this is your idea or not. Once you, as I did here, once you determine what your personal inflation rate was, 24.7%, you can share this with your friends. You can share it on Twitter and Facebook, and you can let other people just click on it and see for themselves. I mean, I think we all had a sense that, you know, that even if inflation is slowing down, I think one of our friends from Fox Business told us this, think of it as you're moving ahead in a car at 60 miles an hour. Well, now you're only moving ahead at 57, but you're still gaining. Like, inflation it's cumulative, right? And then that's what this shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, your speedometer shows you the rate of inflation. The mile markers on the side of the road, they're showing you the prices, and those numbers keep going up. So if you want prices to come down, you not only need the speedometer to get all the way down to zero, but then you need to put the car in reverse, too. And we are nowhere near that.
That is a great point. EJ Antoni, Heritage Foundation Research Fellow, we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Good interview there. Good information. And go take the test for yourself. I shared it up there on the Facebook page, the Mark Cox Show. Change in my monthly expenses due to inflation. And you can pick the year. I picked 2019. Maybe you want to pick 2020 or 2021. But I picked it so that it was the last year of the Trump administration up until now. And $1,500 a month more, according to this, that I'm paying now than I was paying 5 years ago.
I, See, I don't even know if I want to know my number because it's depressing.
Yeah, well, it's not all in your mind when you look at the checkbook balance at the end of each month. That's for sure. I just think that everyone needs to go through that and determine what's going on there. Hey, when we come back, did you know a couple of the things that St. Louis used to be the most famous for? Like, well-known around the country that have just kind of gone by the wayside these days. Our friend Sue Thomas has been working on that for the history of the Lou with Sue for this weekend. We're going to pick her brain about that coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned.
In the first half of the 20th century, it would not have been considered odd to include St. Louis in a list of the world's fashion capitals. In this country, the St. Louis fashion scene was second only to Manhattan.
Wow. I did not know that. Yep. Sue Thomas. Wow. I did, because you told me what you were working on.
What is clear, top of mind for voters in this election is the economy, and specifically in these states, roughly 8 in 10, just a shade over 8 in 10, say that the economy is a major issue in deciding their vote. Inflation also continues to be a major concern. Voters clearly feeling uneasy. A majority, more than a quarter of registered voters in each of these three states say that their income is not keeping up with inflation. You can imagine both candidates will be asked about this tomorrow night. Brianna?
Yeah, those are big numbers there out of those battleground states, Boris.
Boris Sanchez giving Brianna Keeler the bad news on CNN that, hey, 8 out of 10 people in the swing states are worried about inflation. I hope in the campaign ads we're not seeing right now, the Trump Vance people are hammering that point home. What's your number, Kim?
My what?
What do you think your personal inflation number has been over the past 4 years?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Up. Well, there's a way to find out right now. EJ Antoni joining us right now. He is with he's a research fellow with the Heritage Foundation and an expert on budget and monetary policy. And they've got a new personal calculator that will let you measure the impact of inflation on your life. And EJ, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. A personal inflation calculator. I love what you guys do up at Heritage. I don't know who came up with this idea, but it's a good one.
Well, thank you so much. And look, one of the reasons why I really like this tool is because it's not only really powerful, but it's super easy to use. So, you know, people can go online on it's myinflation.org, and you can not just look at the national average, but you can essentially tailor it to more like your situation. So whether you're a retiree, let's say, or maybe you're the typical suburban family of four, whatever the case may be, you can select your location where you are in the country. You can even tweak your budget. So maybe you spend a little more or less on food, let's say, than the average, or housing, whatever the case may be. Well, you know, you can even put in things like you know, how much you're paying for transportation, like your car payment, let's say. And what it does is it allows you to compare your budget today to the past. So if you want, for example, let's say you want to figure out how much have Biden-Harris administration policies cost me, you can see what you're paying today versus what you were paying in January of 2021.
Mm. It works beautifully. I've already run through a couple scenarios here. So you select your location. Obviously, I pick St. Louis. You input your monthly expenses, or you can pick like the U.S. average or the average for a suburban family of four in the U.S. So, for example, $2,700 rent or mortgage is the average they put in here. Electricity, $200 a month, maybe $400 in restaurants, $600 to $700 in groceries, your gasoline, your car payments, your car insurance, other expenses. And then you pick a year to compare that to. I went back to 2019 and selected that, and I selected a U.S. suburban family of four, and the results are, we almost need a drum roll here, compared to September of 2019, you are paying $1,560 more every month for the same goods and services. That is a percentage increase of 24.7% inflation over that period. That's powerful.
It is, but I really love the first thing you said there before the percentage. It gives you a dollar amount. You know, it's not really, it's kind of ethereal almost when you hear in the news, hey, we had 3% inflation over the last year.
okay, but what does that mean, right? What is that in terms of dollars? How is that actually going to affect my monthly budget? And this, again, why I love this tool, it gives you that dollar figure, and it's not just an annual rate, meaning it's not just how much things have changed over the last year. It allows you to do things like you just did. Let's take this month, September, but back in 2019, and see how do we compare, again, in terms of dollars and not just percentages, because percentages don't fit into your monthly budget. Dollars do.
It's funny because you've heard Kamala Harris on the campaign trail talk about how, you know, meat's more expensive and gas is more expensive and home prices are more expensive. And then she even said it when she was debating Donald Trump. And I almost wish Trump would have turned to her and said, thank you so much. You just wrote an ad for me. Exactly. Everything's more expensive under your administration, your and Biden's administration.
You know, it's funny you say that, because they literally did turn that into an ad where it's just a clip of Kamala Harris giving different speeches, and it's her saying this is more expensive, that's more expensive, and it's all true.
Yeah.
And so she just rattles off half a dozen things and saying each of them are more expensive, and then it immediately cuts to a picture of Trump and it says, I'm Donald Trump and I approve this.
How does she not realize? I mean, obviously, I'm sure she realizes it, but just doesn't want to admit it, because somehow she wants people to believe she's a new way forward. But it's almost like, why are you even willing to admit that? Because how can you possibly separate yourself from the rise in price everywhere? I mean, it's affecting, to Donald Trump's point, it's not just affecting the rich or the poor, it's affecting everybody.
Right. And this is where you almost have to feel bad for Harris, because she's got an impossible task. She's trying to square the circle in these campaign events of simultaneously saying, hey, everything is great because of our leadership, but then also acknowledging that everything is terrible and telling you how she's going to make it great if you give her another 4 years of leadership. I mean, how on earth do you square that circle? Again, you almost have to feel bad for her, because it's an impossible task.
Well, if you follow us on the Facebook page, the Mark Cox Show there on Facebook, I just shared my change in monthly expenses based on the scenario I ran. And it's also then got the link where you can go run your own personal inflation calculator with this device. And it's pretty eye-opening. And here's another great thing about it, EJ, and I don't know if this is your idea or not. Once you, as I did here, once you determine what your personal inflation rate was, 24.7%, you can share this with your friends. You can share it on Twitter and Facebook, and you can let other people just click on it and see for themselves. I mean, I think we all had a sense that, you know, that even if inflation is slowing down, I think one of our friends from Fox Business told us this, think of it as you're moving ahead in a car at 60 miles an hour. Well, now you're only moving ahead at 57, but you're still gaining. Like, inflation it's cumulative, right? And then that's what this shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, your speedometer shows you the rate of inflation. The mile markers on the side of the road, they're showing you the prices, and those numbers keep going up. So if you want prices to come down, you not only need the speedometer to get all the way down to zero, but then you need to put the car in reverse, too. And we are nowhere near that.
That is a great point. EJ Antoni, Heritage Foundation Research Fellow, we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Good interview there. Good information. And go take the test for yourself. I shared it up there on the Facebook page, the Mark Cox Show. Change in my monthly expenses due to inflation. And you can pick the year. I picked 2019. Maybe you want to pick 2020 or 2021. But I picked it so that it was the last year of the Trump administration up until now. And $1,500 a month more, according to this, that I'm paying now than I was paying 5 years ago.
I don't even know if I want to know my number, because it's depressing.
Yeah, well, it's not all in your mind when you look at the checkbook balance at the end of each month. That's for sure. I just think that everyone needs to go through that and determine what's going on there. Hey, when we come back, did you know a couple of the things that St. Louis used to be the most famous for? like well-known around the country that have just kind of gone by the wayside these days. Our friend Sue Thomas has been working on that for the history of the Lou with Sue for this weekend. We're going to pick her brain about that coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned.
In the first half of the 20th century, it would not have been considered odd to include St. Louis in a list of the world's fashion capitals. In this country, the St. Louis fashion scene was second only to Manhattan.
Wow. I did not know that. Yep. Sue Thomas. Wow. Because you told me what you were working on, I just went and Googled it. The Missouri Historical Society had a whole piece in there on like the Harris Clothing Company and all these other things that St. Louis was known for.
Yeah, it's kind of another piece of St. Louis history that boggles the mind. You know, at one point we were second only
to
Detroit.
He walked out of the courtroom.
Oops, sorry.
In automobile production, and we were second only to Manhattan in the clothing industry. We had 21 different shoe companies in St. Louis at one point. We had so many different clothing companies. There were about 161 at one point in the 20s in St. Louis, and people would come from the East Coast here to look at what the fashion trends would be. It's just amazing.
Wow. So,
boy, that's
so
reversed.
Not to hate on St. Louis, but what changed? Because now it's the opposite. Now it starts West Coast, East Coast, and then comes here.
Well, population. You would have to listen to find out. But part of it, of course, is that people were wanting to make clothes less expensively. And it got to be expensive to have Americans do it. And that switched for a lot of things. But, you know, part of what they made in St. Louis, we made World War I and World War II uniforms for the military. We did boots and shoes, provided them with all of that. And it all came from St. Louis.
That's cool. Mm. Well, Mark, you're very fashion forward. So, you know, some of that has stuck around.
I support local fashion. I have my old Monroe Distillery T-shirt on this morning from right over here in Columbia, Illinois.
Well, you know, they also made stuff like the official Girl Scout uniforms were made in St. Louis from about the 30s on in. And once, well, here's the thing. St. Louis, here we are on the Mississippi. We start as a fur trading outpost.
Right.
And then, you know, it becomes such commerce on the Mississippi. Eventually, we get cotton coming down the river. And finally, somebody thought, why are we sending this somewhere else? We should use the cotton to make clothes, use the leather to make shoes, and that's how it became kind of a boom industry for us. It's just a really fascinating, fascinating history. And I had a woman on who wrote Ready to Wear, a History of Footwear and Garment Industries in St. Louis, and she knows the entire background of it, Valerie Kinzel. So I think you'll really like it.
Well, tell people again when they can listen, please.
Okay. It's 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 97.1 on Sundays, or at KMOX. I think this week it's 7 p.m. on KMOX on Saturday.
And can you download the podcast, Sue?
You can. Odyssey.com. Go to podcasts and look for History of the Lou.
That's pretty fascinating. I remember when I worked at Channel 4 and found out that the building right next door to Channel 4's building down there at One Memorial was the Fur Exchange building. And that was where trappers from out west and all around would bring their fur that they'd trapped over the winter down the river to St. Louis. And that's where a lot of the major fur manufacturers would come and buy the fur when they used to make fur coats. I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, St. Louis, since it was founded in the 1700s, we have stories of we existed before shoes were built for left and right feet. They would just take leather and kind of shove it on your foot and hope for the best. And then eventually in this area, it started to get better and fancier. And it
less
was
comfortable,
there.
Though, yeah. With high heels.
Yeah. What did and you, Buster Brown started here, too.
What'd you do if you got plantar fasciitis back then? I guess you were just
See, that's just it. Nobody even had
inquiring,
that, so
asking for a friend, right, Mark?
Yeah. No kidding. You were just out of luck, man. You were limping is what you were doing. That's funny.
Yeah, well, Sue, it'll be fun.
Yeah, thank you for telling us about that. People can listen in this weekend or download the podcast. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, have a good weekend.
Thanks, you guys too.
We will. Hopefully the rain doesn't eat into anybody's plans over the course of the weekend. And we'll see you back here, of course, on Monday. I'm sure Kilmeade is going to be up here next with the latest on this big announcement by Trump yesterday. We played the bite for a couple times this morning where he's announced he's going to drop the sales tax on overtime. And I'm waiting for the media to come flying in at that, claiming it's going to cost too much because they don't want you to keep your own money.
Yep.
Right? And, of course, they'll have the latest on that in just a few minutes. Clearly, Annie and then Mark in this afternoon, and we will see you back here. Kim's going to take a few days off next week, but I'll be here starting Monday morning at 5 a.m. See you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.
In the first half of the 20th century, it would not have been considered odd to include St. Louis in a list of the world's fashion capitals. In this country, the St. Louis fashion scene was second only to Manhattan.
Wow, I did not know that. Yep. Sue Thomas, wow. Because you told me what you were working on, I just went and Googled it. The Missouri Historical Society had a whole piece in there on like the Harris Clothing Company and all these other things that St. Louis was known for.
Yeah, it's kind of another piece of St. Louis history that boggles the mind. You know, at one point we were second only
to
Detroit.
He walked out of the courtroom.
Sorry.
It's okay. In automobile production, and we were second only to Manhattan in the clothing industry. We had 21 different shoe companies in St. Louis at one point. We had so many different clothing companies. There were about 161 at one point in the 20s in St. Louis, and people would come from the East Coast here to look at what the fashion trends would be. It's just amazing.
Wow. So,
boy, that's reversed.
Not to hate on St. Louis, but what changed? Because now it's the opposite. Now it starts West Coast, East Coast, and then comes here.
Well, population. You would have to listen to find out. But part of it, of course, is that people were wanting to make clothes less expensively. And it got to be expensive to have Americans do it. And that switched for a lot of things. But, you know, part of what they made in St. Louis, we made World War I and World War II uniforms for the military. We did boots and shoes, provided them with all of that. And it all came from St. Louis.
That's cool. Mm. Well, Mark, you're very fashion forward. So, you know, some of that has stuck around.
I support local fashion. I have my old Monroe Distillery T-shirt on this morning.
Well,
from right over here in Columbia, Illinois.
Well, you know, they also made stuff like the official Girl Scout uniforms were made in St. Louis from about the 30s on in. And once, well, here's the thing. St. Louis, here we are on the Mississippi. We start as a fur trading outpost.
Right.
And then, you know, it becomes such commerce on the Mississippi. Eventually, we get cotton coming down the river. And finally, somebody thought, why are we sending this somewhere else? We should use the cotton to make clothes, use the leather to make shoes, and that's how it became kind of a boom industry for us. It's just a really fascinating, fascinating history. And I had a woman on who wrote Ready to Wear, a History of Footwear and Garment Industries in St. Louis. And she knows the entire background of it, Valerie Kinzel. So I think you'll really like it.
Well, tell people again when they can listen, please.
Okay. It's 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 97.1 on Sundays, or KMOX. I think this week it's 7 p.m. on KMOX on Saturday.
And can you download the podcast, Sue?
You can. Odyssey.com. Go to podcasts and look for History of the Lou.
That's pretty fascinating. I remember when I worked at Channel 4 and found out that the building right next door to Channel 4's building down there at One Memorial was the Fur Exchange building. And that was where trappers from out west and all around would bring their fur that they'd trapped over the winter down the river to St. Louis. And that's where a lot of the major fur manufacturers would come and buy the fur when they used to make fur coats. I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, St. Louis, since it was founded in the 1700s, we have stories of we existed before shoes were built for left and right feet. They would just take leather and kind of shove it on your foot and hope for the best. And then eventually in this area, it started to get better and fancier. And it
less comfortable,
there.
Though,
yeah.
With high heels.
Yeah. What did Buster Brown started here, too.
What did you do if you got plantar fasciitis back then? I guess you were just out of luck.
See, that's just it. Nobody even had
inquiring,
that, so
asking for a friend, right, Mark?
Yeah. No kidding. You were just out of luck, man. You were limping is what you were doing. That's funny.
Yeah, well, Sue, it'll be fun.
Yeah, thank you for telling us about that. People can listen in this weekend or download the podcast. That's fantastic. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, have a good weekend.
Thanks. You guys,
yeah,
too.
We will. Hopefully the rain doesn't eat into anybody's plans over the course of the weekend. And we'll see you back here, of course, on Monday. I'm sure Kilmeade is going to be up here next with the latest on this big announcement by Trump yesterday. We played the bite for a couple times this morning where he's announced he's going to drop the sales tax on overtime. And I'm waiting for the media to come flying in at that, claiming it's going to cost too much because they don't want you to keep your own money.
Yep.
Right? And, of course, they'll have the latest on that in just a few minutes. Clearly, Annie and then Mark in this afternoon, and we will see you back here. Kim's going to take a few days off next week, but I'll be here starting Monday morning at 5 a.m. See you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.